Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. You know, we're so glad you're able to join us this morning, and we pray that this time of study of God's Word will be a blessing and encouragement for you. Now, today, we're going to be thinking on the topic of false and true prophets. You know, and although we're dealing with true and false prophets, keep in mind that this comes directly from Jesus' own preaching during his Sermon on the Mount. And this idea of following the right way, following Jesus Christ's way, and turning away from the false prophets, you know, that's not just something that was important for the people in Jesus' time, but it is absolutely critical for us today. There are so many false prophets and false teachers in the world, and honestly, they are out to lead you astray, and we need to take everything we hear that's taught, and we need to compare it to the Word of God. So with this thought in mind, let's go ahead and turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds as he talks about true and false prophets.
This morning, we're down to Matthew 7 and verse 15 through verse 20, as Jesus Christ continues preaching to the disciples concerning false and true prophets. He says in this place, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Jesus Christ continues in the message that he's been preaching, the Sermon on the Mount. This people that Jesus Christ is speaking to need to understand some spiritual truths. You know, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 4, we find in verse 15 that Jesus Christ, when he began to preach, he said, first of all, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In this verse, Jesus Christ gives the people some spiritual truths that they need. They need to repent. They need to have another mind toward. That's what the word repent means. They need to follow Jesus Christ. And they did. They followed Jesus Christ with enthusiasm. The Bible says in verse number 24 that his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. The Bible talks about what happened before Jesus Christ began to preach the Sermon on the Mount. And after these folks had repented, they had another mind toward the world. They wanted to share the gospel message with others. And they brought all of these sick people unto Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus Christ do? He healed every person. He was a man of great compassion because he's God. And God loves us. And God wants us to always do right. The Bible says, furthermore, that he healed them all. There wasn't a person that Jesus Christ did not heal. And there was a vast multitude of these people. They came from the south, from the north, from the east, and from the west. These people came and followed Jesus Christ. And then on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ began to preach to them the truth of the Word of God. It was a great day that these people heard the message of Jesus Christ. Then he says in Matthew 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets." You see, Jesus Christ wants the people to understand that every person is not true. Every person will not lead them into a better life. Jesus Christ wants these people to understand this very vital truth. not only was it true for them, it's also true for us. We need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ because we have an eternity ahead of us. These people that Jesus Christ preached to on the Sermon on the Mount were just like us. They're people. They have souls. They have lives. They have jobs. They're just like us. They have things that confront them. We have things that confront us, right? We need the words of Jesus Christ. We need that. Jesus Christ said, beware of false prophets. As you go about your daily life, Jesus Christ warns about false prophets. Jesus Christ tells the people in that day, these false prophets will come to you. That's what the Bible says in verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you. In other words, you don't go to them, but they come to you. They will knock on your door, and they will ask you where you're going to church or something else. Listen, we need to be a good witness for the Lord everywhere that we go, regardless of who knocks on our door. We need to be very aware that it may be a false prophet that's standing outside our door waiting on us to come to the door. You see, the Bible said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Listen, there's no way that we can ever exempt ourselves from facing a false prophet. Don't ever think there's a way, because you can ever escape that. There's going to be false prophets all around you. There always has been. But Jesus Christ wants these people that he's preaching to, Jesus Christ wants them to understand the importance of their life and that they need to follow Jesus Christ and be true to him always, regardless of what happens. Now, let's go back to Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Understand that there may be more than one. The word prophet is prophets. It's got an S on the end of it. It means that there's more than one. Understand that this is so. It is our place to always be perfectly in alignment with whatever God wants us to be aligned with. This is what he's saying. We are answerable only to God. We are accountable only to him. He will judge us one of these days. And we need to be right before him. Eternity is looming. Eternity is just ahead of us. Just one heartbeat away from us is eternity. When your heart beats the last time, then you will go into eternity. And we don't ever know when that's going to be. But listen, all of these people that Jesus Christ preached to on that day are now gone into eternity. And so it will be for us one of these days that we will die and we will go into eternity. We need to understand that this is so. There's many false prophets. That's with an S. Many false prophets. But they come to us in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Now today, you might not see this very much, but I remember when I was younger that they would always talk about that you need to be careful about who the person is, because there are wolves that have killed a sheep and they have taken the skin of that animal and covered themselves. And so they look like a sheep, but they're really not. They're really inside them. They are a ravening wolf. They are a wild, untamed one. They are there to take us captive. They want us. That's what Jesus Christ is saying in this place. The Bible said in verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. You don't know them because of the way they look. You don't know them the way they dress. But you will know them by their fruits. The Bible says in verse 16, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Listen, just like the man Judas Iscariot, He had a lot of good works. Judas Iscariot was chosen by God as one of the apostles. He traveled with the apostles. This man kept the bag. In other words, he was a trusted person. He kept the treasury of the people. But he also betrayed Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Now, Jesus Christ always knew who he was. It was not a surprise to Jesus Christ that Judas betrayed him, because Jesus Christ knew who he was from the very beginning. Listen, here's the thing, that God knows who the right ones are that we need to follow. And God knows who the wrong ones are that we don't need to follow. You see, we are his servants if we're saved by the grace of Almighty God. We need to always remember to do always what God wants us to do, because there are false prophets everywhere, and there are false prophets that are coming to us. They're in sheep's clothing. We need to be aware that we need to always be right before Almighty God. The Bible says here in verse 16, do men gather grapes of thorns? If you're going to gather grapes to have your grape juice or whatever, do you go out to a thorn tree to get it? Why, no. I mean, that's not logical to do at all. Jesus Christ is saying that we don't need to do that either. We need to understand that there's good fruit and there's bad fruit. There's things that's good to eat and there's things that's not good to eat. Jesus Christ is very clear in this practical example that he's giving to us. He says in verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. It's very plain and very obvious what Jesus Christ is stating. Notice concerning fruits. The Bible speaks about fruits in the book of Galatians 5 and verse number 19. The Bible said here, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings. Wow, that's a big long list that Jesus Christ is giving us of the works of the flesh. The Bible says, of the which I tell you before, and I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's very plain, is it not? That's just like Jesus Christ is telling the disciples here in the book of Matthew 7 and verse 15, that we need to beware of false prophets. False prophets have these works of the flesh, and they will go out to deceive inside of them. They are wicked people. God wants us to beware of them. God wants us to avoid them. God wants us to always do what he wants us to do. In verse 22 of Galatians 5, the Bible says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no limit, in other words. All of these things are the fruits of the Spirit of God. This is what we need to be looking for. This is why Jesus Christ says that we can know people by their fruits. The Bible goes on in the book of Galatians 5 and verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, we shall also walk in the Spirit. And so Jesus Christ is making it very plain that we ought to always be obedient to the Lord and always true unto him. Now, if we would just apply what it says in the book of Galatians 5, verse 19 through 26, with what Jesus Christ is stating to us in the book of Matthew 7 and verse 15 through verse number 20, we would understand that Jesus Christ is speaking about how a saved person can live a victorious Christian life. It's simply this, by crucifying the flesh with the affections and lust. You see, this is the difference between the fruits of the Spirit and works of the flesh. This is very plain because it is in the Scripture. But applying Scripture to daily life and those we meet is sometimes different because wicked people often cover themselves with good works. But we need to learn to tell the difference between those that are saved and those that are lost, between those that willingly deceive people and those that are simply mistaken. Most of all, it is our responsibility as an individual to always follow Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus told the disciples that one among them will betray him, and they all ask, "Is it I?" The lesson here is that we must always do what God's Word tells us to do. And don't look around to make sure somebody else is following you. Just don't do that. We can know by the Scriptures, rightly applied and rightly used. You see, be very careful that we do not use any Scripture in a false way. Not only will that deceive us, it can lead others also into deception. And that might ruin their lives. That might be just the thing the devil is looking for, is the wrong use of Scripture. We must have it all right. The Bible is one book. It is 66 books included in this one book. And all these Scriptures all tie together. They are linked together. And we must understand that that is the way Jesus Christ wants us to have it. Because He's wrote for us, right? He's given to us the Bible. I use the King James Bible because I believe that's a good book to use. I don't use any of the modern versions at all. I don't believe in those. But rather, we use the King James Bible only. Now, let's go back to the book of Matthew 7 and look again in verse number 16. The Bible said here, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" Again, men do not gather grapes of a thorn bush. They don't do that. Thorns may look good. I've seen those. They look pretty good. But you need to watch out, because thorns are not to be touched. If you touch them, then you will get hurt by those. Thistle is a common name of a group of flowering plants characterized by leaves with sharp prickles on the outside of those. Christ is here instructing His listeners where to look for good things. You don't look in evil places for good things. Good things may be there, but the abundance of evil greatly hinders any good that could be found. You see, men cannot look in the heart. But Jesus Christ can. We look at the fruits of the lives to determine the quality that's on the inside. Jesus Christ doesn't have to do that. But we do. That's why Jesus Christ is saying in verse number 16, "You shall know them by their fruits." Be careful, though, when you look at the fruits of others, because others are also looking at us. It is more important for all of us to look only to Christ, because He is our Master. He is our Lord, and He is our King. He is the one we are supposed to be following, not looking around to make sure everybody else is right. If we just follow the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus can keep us safe. Understand that that's so. In Matthew 7, verse number 17 through verse number 20, it may seem to the casual reader that these verses all say exactly the same thing. But they do not say exactly the same thing. Christ is making what he is saying very clear. There are only two different types of people, saved and lost. That's it. The saved and lost only do two different things. Things God says, or they do things God does not say. Which one are you doing? There are also many saved people that do not have proper fruit. The important question here is, what kind of fruit do I have? What kind of example am I setting for others? Not what example are others setting for me, because we need to follow Jesus Christ, right? But there are others that need to follow Jesus Christ also. And if they see us following Christ, then they will be all right. But they need to follow Jesus Christ and him alone. Everybody is in this same situation. In verse 17, the Bible says this, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." In this verse, the word fruit is used for both the righteous and the wicked. Christ is here speaking not of eternal things, but earthly things. Or Jesus Christ is speaking about how that we, as humans, are able to tell the difference between right and wrong. Note these two differences, not three or more differences. There are only two ways left to go, either to the right or to the left. Either you follow Jesus Christ or you don't follow Jesus Christ. Notice this little phrase in verse 17. Bringeth forth fruit. Fruit is a natural product of life. This cannot be hid. This will come out in the open. There are only two kinds of fruit. Good fruit or corrupt fruit. This is it. Verse 18 is not simply a repeat of verse 17. Verse 18 declares that the kind of fruit produced is natural. Let's read the verse. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You see, verse 18 is not simply a repeat of verse number 17. Verse 18 declares that the kind of fruit produced is natural. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Nor can an evil tree bring forth good fruit. Many try to make this untrue or unnatural or limiting, but it is still true. There is no middle ground, as all we do is either for God or it is against God. I mean, we're doing what God wants us to do, or we're not doing what God wants us to do. I mean, that's it. There's either sin or there's success. I mean, there's one way or the other. Either you're right or you're wrong. That's it. Notice, in verse number 19, the Bible said here, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 19 is a simple declaration that Christ makes. There's no need to struggle to bring forth good fruit. Good fruit comes naturally. There could be some discontent or fear with this verse, but there is no fear in the truth. Bad fruit comes naturally also, but the one that bears bad fruit is finally cut down and burned in the fire. Nobody wants to be burned in the fire. I don't think anybody wants to go to hell, but every person needs to understand that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Jesus Christ is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. If you want to go to heaven, you must do what God wants you to do. You must repent that you're lost. You must trust Jesus Christ and him only, that you can be eternally saved by his own power. When you are eternally saved, then you will want to do what God wants you to do. I mean, it's very plain and very simple. We live in this life. We have all of these decisions in front of us. But what will we do? Will we do what God wants us to do, or will we not? It is imperative that we follow only what the Lord wants us to do. In verse 20 states this, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." It is a very natural thing to be judged for their actions. It is by their fruits that believers are known. It is by their works that unbelievers are known. This is what the Bible is very clearly stating for us. It is absolutely true that we need Jesus Christ to touch us. We need Jesus Christ and His words. These things that Jesus Christ spoke when He preached the Sermon on the Mount, they were gladly received by His listeners. You know who was there? The Bible says that those people that were healed. There were people that had heard Jesus Christ preach in the book of Matthew 4 and verse 17 when He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." There were people also that were present in that day. The Bible speaks of them in Matthew 4 and verse 24 through verse 25. The Bible here says that His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick folks that were taken with divers diseases and torment, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them every one. There were people from the north, the south, the east, and the west that came to be healed of Jesus Christ. That's the marvelous thing. And then Jesus preached to them this Sermon on the Mount. These people were willing to hear what Jesus Christ had to say. You know what? When Jesus Christ preached the Sermon on the Mount, there's no evidence at all that there was any Pharisees or Sadducees present. There might have been, but there's no evidence of that. Jesus Christ wants His people to hear His truth. Jesus Christ wants His people to live the way that He wants them to live. Jesus Christ has given to them eternal life. And Jesus Christ wants them to understand His invaluable truth and how that God can be such a blessing to them if they'll just give up everything and just do what God wants them to do. God will bless in enormously fabulous ways if we'll just leave it all with Him and just trust Him. I'm glad that this is what Jesus Christ wanted to do. I'm glad that Jesus Christ wanted to preach the Sermon on the Mount to these people. I'm glad that He went and He sat down and He talked to them about the truth of the Word of God. It's an invaluable thing that Jesus Christ preached this great Sermon on the Mount, and He gave this warning to these people, that they would just follow what Jesus Christ wanted them to follow.
You know, thank you for the message, Brother Wayne. You know, it's a very timely message. It's one that I think everybody needs to hear. There are so many on the public stage, honestly, even those that have worldwide attention, that are leading people astray. People that are giving false hope, people that are turning people's eyes from what they really need to be seeing, leading them down that broad way that goes to destruction. And may we always take what teachers say and compare it to the Word of God. Honestly, as you were teaching this morning, I couldn't help but think about Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. This is probably the strongest place I can think of where it's stated. Paul himself actually tells the churches of Galatia, he says, "But though we or an angel of heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Paul here is saying that the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't change. No matter who comes along preaching some other gospel to you, you had better not follow them. Always make sure that what they're teaching matches with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we are coming down to the close of the broadcast this morning, so we do want to take a minute and remind you of a few things. First, would be that you're always welcome to come and visit us in person. We're located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. And our services on Sunday start at 10 a.m. with Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and 4:30 evening services. Secondly, we'd want to suggest that you log on to our website at independencebaptist.org and check out the many different books, articles, and audio messages that are available. Finally, we'd like to thank you for listening and encourage you to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.